तव कथामृतं ताप्त जीवनं कविविरीडितं कल्मषापहं श्रवणमंगलं श्रीमदाततं भुवि विनन्ति पुरिदायनाः. The nature of divorce is the life for those who are scorched by the world. The words which have been uttered by the knowers of truth, which wipe out sins, the very hearing of which is beneficial, which are beautiful, pleasing to the ears, pleasing to the hearts, which are inexhaustible, those who recount them on the earth are the givers of plenty. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Peace, 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 my poor. Tonight I shall talk to you about Nivedita, the great wonder. Her 150th anniversary is going on all over the world. She was an Irish disciple of Swami Vivekananda. Very inspiring, fascinating life. Tulasidas, a medieval mystic saint, mentioned, I bow down to the holy, I bow down to the unholy. Why? Because both give me pain. When the unholy comes near me, I get pain. And when the holy leaves me, departs from me, I get pain. So both give me pain, so I salute both. I feel for Nivedita that way. She lived only 44 years. And her guru, Swami Vivekananda, lived only 39 years. It seems that all great souls do not live in this world for a long time. They come with a specific mission, and when it is done, they leave, they depart. But within a short time, they accomplish tremendous amount of work. They have tremendous speed. We understand, you know, bullock cart speed, rickshaw speed, car speed, then jet plane speed, rocket speed. These people have so much speed. How they can manage it is hard to resist. Tremendous power. And their legacy overwhelms us. Swami Vivekananda said, when you are born, keep a mark in this world that you came. The Bengali word is so beautiful. Jokon jonmeche ekta dag rekhe ja. When you are born, keep a mark on this earth that you came. That we find in Nivedita's life. Nivedita's name is recorded in the history. In the golden boat of history, it has very limited space. The masses, rich people, or this and that, the ordinary people have no entry there. That boat is the pages of history. Who will be recorded in the history? That is the question. The person who sacrificed most for the country and for the people, their names are recorded in the history. they contributed maximum for the national heritage and to the human, to the world. Their names are recorded in history. Nivedita's life is really a wonder. She was an embodiment of energy, virility, strength, power, and fortitude. She was strong physically, mentally, intellectually, and spiritually. God gave her talent by the grace of her guru. She executed it in various fields in her life. Some people have ideas, but they have no incentive or energy to execute that ideas. Some people have tremendous strength, but no ideas. That is the reason Swami Vivekananda used to say, your head, heart, and hands, all three must be focused. Then you will get success in your life. Nivedita's pre-monastic name was Margaret Elizabeth Noble. She was born on 28 October 1867 at Dungannon, a small town in North Ireland. Her grandfather, John Noble, migrated from Scotland to Ireland. He was a minister. Her father, Samuel Richmond, also was a minister, married Mary Isabel Hamilton. And this newly married couple moved to Manchester, England. But Samuel died at the age of 32. At that time, Nivedita was only 10 years old. So her mother, poor lady, with three children, Margaret, May, and Richmond, two girls, one son, they moved to their grandparents. Then Margaret and May, they went to Halifax school. She graduated from school at the age of 17. A brilliant student, a tremendous, very powerful writer, orator, debater. God endowed her with tremendous talent. She became a member of Sesame Club, where all great British intellectuals were connected. She read Shakespeare, Bible, literature. Many well equipped from the early age. She wanted to help her mother. Poor mother, I must earn money. So she applied for a job at the age of 17. And she got a job at Keswick Boarding School as a teacher. Afterwards, she worked another 2-3 schools. Then she started her own school in Wimbledon. Just when she was in her early 20s. And she became a supporter of the new education movement in England, introducing Pestalozzi, Provel's method of teaching there. So from 1884 to 1894, Margaret spent 10 years as a school teacher and gained a lot of experience and became well known among the literary circle. She knew Bernard Shaw, Keats, Huxley. Margaret's deep Christian upbringing could not satisfy her thirst for spirituality. She was an original free thinker. And Christian doctrines and dogmas created doubt in her rational and analytical mind. She then began to study Buddhism. She loved Buddha. And she got some peace. As a fish on the ground flops and flounders, likewise, Margaret was restless. She wants to know the truth. She was searching, looking for something. It was November 1895. Swami Vivekananda came after a grand success in the Parliament of Religions in Chicago. He became very well known in England. All newspapers flashed Indian yogi. And Swamiji started to give a series of lectures on Jnana Yoga. Those are all best lectures of Swamiji. Lady Isabel Margeson heard Swamiji's lectures and invited him in her house. And she invited some of her friends. And Margaret was one of them. It was 15th November 1895. Margaret wrote about her meetings with Swamiji in 1895 and 1896 in her book, The Master as He Saw Him. She heard something new, inspiring and convincing from Swamiji's talk. You see, another nice thing about America, here people love to hear something new. All our struggles is for freedom. We seek neither happiness nor misery, but freedom alone. Swamiji is talking. Man travels from lower truth to higher truth, not from error to truth. It is better to be born in a church, but not to die in it. These are the new ideas, new thoughts. She was listening. She never heard such things. She took notes for studying Swamiji's teachings in depth. Her arid heart began to absorb this wonderful message like a sponge. She later wrote her first impression, "I had recognized the heroic fiber of the, man and desired to make myself the servant of his love for his own people. But it was his character to which I had thus done obeisance." Swamiji stayed in London until November 27, 1895. As I said, during this period, he gave several lectures on Jnana Yoga. Margaret wrote her impression in her book. In a letter, "He spoke with a sense of conviction, born out of realization, which even an unbeliever could not deny." Margaret's doubts began to melt. Doubt is very painful to a sincere soul, like a tiny flying moth on the eye. A person cannot have rest until the moth is out. Margaret waited another few months. Swamiji again returned to England in April 1896. Then he gave a talk. That is a challenge. "What the world wants today is 20 men and women who can dare to stand in the street yonder and say that they possess nothing but God. Who will go? Why should one fear?" Margaret boldly, tacitly accepted the challenge. Margaret began to correspond with Swamiji. And the latter replied her questions. Swamiji wrote to Margaret on 7th June 1896 in a letter which is considered to be one of the best letters of Swami Vivekananda. "Dear Miss Noble, my ideal indeed can be put into a few words, and that is to preach unto mankind their divinity and how to make it manifest in every movement of life. Who will give the world light? Sacrifice in the past has been the law. It will be, alas, for ages to come,
The earth's bravest and best will have to sacrifice themselves for the good of many, for the welfare of all. Buddhas by the hundreds are necessary with eternal love and pity. Religions of the world have become lifeless mockeries. What the world wants is character. The world is in need of those whose life is one burning love, selfless. That love will make every world, every word tell like thunderbolt. Awake, awake, great one. The world is burning with misery. Can you sleep? Let us call and call till the sleeping gods awake. Till the God within answers to the call. Inspired and overwhelmed, Margaret listened to this divine call and felt an urge to dedicate herself for the noble cause. One day during the conversation, Swamiji was telling her, "I have plans for women of my own country in which you, I think, could be of great help to me." Later, Nivedita wrote a letter to a friend from India. Suppose he had not come to London that time, life would have become like a headless torso. For I always knew that I was waiting for something. I always said that call would come, and it did. Margaret accepted Swamiji as her guru, master. Swamiji traveled 3 months all over Europe. Then, on 16 December, he left England for India, arrived in February 1897. Margaret wants to come to India, wants to work for Swamiji. Swamiji wrote her, "Let me tell you frankly that I am now convinced that you have a great future in the work for India. What was wanted was not a man but a woman, a real lioness to work for the Indians, women especially. Your education, sincerity, purity, immense love, character, determination, and above all, the Celtic blood make you just the woman wanted. Yet the difficulties are many. You must think well before you plunge in. On my part, I promise you, I will stand by you unto death, whether you work for India or not, whether you give up Vedanta or remain in it." What was happening, Swamiji cautioned him that Indian life, if you want to, it will be hard on you. You know, Western life and Indian poverty, food, climate, a lot of adjustment. She just determined, left for India. Margaret left London and arrived in Calcutta on 28 February 1898 by SS Mombasa. Swamiji received her at the port and escorted her to a devotee's house in Park Street, which is the foreign Western people's quarters. Always remember, East Calcutta, West Calcutta, North Calcutta and South Calcutta, Orthodox Hindus. Middle portion, Chowrungi area, that was for the British, Western people's quarters. Margaret began to acquaint with the place and people. Ramkrishna Mott was then at Nilambarbha's house in Belur, and the order bought an old house and land nearby, which is now Belur Mott. In February 1898, Sharadananda returned to India from America with Mrs. Olivewell and Miss Josephine MacLeod, and they fixed that small broken house which was in our newly purchased property, and Nivedita joined them. So all these three ladies are staying in that house, which is now Vivekananda's shrine and all the Vivekananda's room. And every morning, Swamiji, our monastery at that time was Nidambarbha's house adjacent, close by. Swamiji used to come for breakfast every morning and talk to these people, and especially began to train Nivedita. Swamiji has encyclopedic knowledge, you know. He told Nivedita about India's religion and culture, history and philosophy, scripture and spiritual tradition. On 25th March 1898, Swamiji initiated Margaret into Brahmacharya and gave her name Nivedita, the dedicated one. He blessed her saying, "Go thou and follow Buddha, who was born and gave his life for others 500 times before he attained the vision of Buddha." You see, during that time it was not easy for a Westerner to enter our Hindu society, especially white people. They have come to convert us into Christianity. They are afraid. They used to think that Western people are malicious, untouchable. Swamiji wanted to engage Nivedita to educate Indian women. Therefore, he took different methods to bring Nivedita in the main stream of Hindu society. You see, Swamiji thought that no society can function only by men or only by women. A bird cannot fly with one wing. Both wings are necessary to fly. So both men and women should be educated. Women's education was very much neglected in India. What did he do, Swamiji? First he started a lecture for Nivedita in Star Theatre. The subject was the influence of Indian spirituality in England. And Swamiji invited all the elites of Calcutta, and Nivedita's powerful orator. She simply captured the whole people in the Calcutta, rich people. First. Second, Swamiji arranged her lecture in Kalighat, very orthodox Hindu place, and trained her, told her the mystery of Kali. And Nivedita gave a lecture on Mother Kali in South Calcutta, in front of the Kali temple. Second. Third, Swamiji introduced Sarah Bull and Josephine MacLeod and Nivedita to Holy Mother. You see, Sri Ramakrishna's wife is a top Brahmins. If she accepts, whole society will accept. So Swamiji took these Western ladies and sent to Holy Mother. Mother received them cordially and had even refreshment with them, which is unthinkable. The mother asked Nivedita, "What is your name?" "My name is Miss Margaret Elizabeth Noble." Holy Mother said, My child, I cannot pronounce such a big name. I shall call you Cookie." Then it was explained what Cookie means. Cookie means a little girl, baby girl. "I shall call you Cookie." "Yes, yes, I am Mother's Cookie." She was very, when she was, it was translated, "Yes, yes, I am Mother's Cookie." Swamiji overjoyed when he heard the whole story. When the orthodox Bagbajar people learned that Holy Mother accepted Nivedita as a daughter, she became part of the society. Fourth, during that time, there was a plague epidemic in Calcutta. Nivedita started to do the relief work. With a broomstick, she started to clean the street. She went to the ghetto area, slums, carrying medicine, nursing them. Oof, what she did, unthinkable. And people are watching. Immediately she was accepted. She did not come to convert us to Christianity. Immediately whole society embraced her. Then, girls' school. "My daughter, I shall not give to you, because if she become a Christian, then I shall not be able to arrange her marriage. Nobody will marry my daughter." Swamiji arranged his friends, "You have a daughter, give to sister. Swamiji was collecting girls so that they can go to Nivedita's school. You see, how difficult to get students. And now Nivedita school is one of the best schools in India, in Bhagbazar. It is under Ramakrishna Sharada Mission. Our convent people, they manage that school. Anyhow, Nivedita school started. And Holy Mother, she dedicated that school, inaugurated that school. Thus Nivedita part of the Hindu society. On 11th May, 1898, hot summer, Swamiji left Calcutta with these three Western women to Nainital, Almora, cooler place in the Himalayas. And all these few months, Swamiji trained, told all the stories and history of India. Swamiji's talks helped Nivedita to write The Web of Indian Life, Cradle Tales of Hinduism. Those are all famous, fascinating books written by Nivedita. Wonderful disciple. Even Swamiji took her to Amarnath and dedicated her to Lord Shiva. Then Swamiji's health was not good. The Western devotees wanted him back to America. So in June 1899, Swamiji left India with Swami Turiyananda and Sister Nivedita on the boat. Swamiji began to train Nivedita extensively. And another thing, Swamiji, it was in Swamiji's mind, Nivedita needs money. She doesn't have any money. So that he could introduce Nivedita to her, to his American devotees, so that they can help her to start the girls' education in India. Swamiji returned December 1900 to India. Nivedita returned from the West February 1902. Swamiji passed away 4th of July 1902. 2 days ago, Nivedita had lunch with him. Swamiji told her, "A deep meditation possessed me. Nivedita went to ask her some questions about her school. Don't ask me. My mind is not going there. Ask Brahmananda." Swamiji was withdrawing himself to depart from this world. So Swamiji died, Nivedita came on the 5th July, early in the morning. She cried. Then, journey alone. On 13th December 1896 in London, Swamiji said to his farewell address, "It may be that I shall find it good to get outside my body, to cast it off like a worn-out garment. But I shall not cease to work. I shall inspire men everywhere until the world shall know that it is one with God." There is a great saying of Maeterlinck: "If you have been greatly influenced by anyone, prove it in your life, not by your tears." You know, some people cry. No. Go on. In the battlefield, some soldiers will die. That doesn't mean you have to weep and wail. You will have to move forward. Nivedita was that type of person. He did not spend much time to cry or lament for the guru. The spirit of her guru began to flow into her veins, and she decided to carry his mission. Swamiji forecast about Nivedita: India shall ring with her. She wrote, "My task is to awake the nation." She worshipped Mother India through her writings and speeches. She began her lecture tour in Bombay, Baroda, Nagpur, Madras, Patna, Lucknow, and various cities in India. Gradually, she got involved with the political movement and came in close contact with national leaders Aurobindo, Gokhale, Tilak, Lala Lajpat Rai, Gandhi, Bipin Pal, Surendranath Banerjee. She inspired the young freedom fighters. As a result, she officially disconnected herself from the Ramakrishna Mission because its policy is not to have any connection with politics. Our order has no connection with politics. We are citizens, we do not vote. God is our only politics. Swamiji emphatically said, you see, in this country, you know, Christian, Jewish, Muslim organizations, they are deeply involved with politics. Nibedita was not happy the way the Indians are treated by the foreign rulers. Nibedita and Aurobindo planned the future course of freedom movement in India. She regularly lectured at Dawn Society and contributed to the Dawn magazine, which acted an active role in the Swadeshi movement, freedom movement. She says, when will arise then that the veritable fighter in the good cause again, with the Gita in the one hand and the soldier in the other? The government put a surveillance on her activities, but did not arrest her. Aurobindo was arrested, later was released by C.R. Das. The room Aurobindo was in Alipur Central Jail, that room is now a shrine. In the jail, that room is a shrine. How C.R. Das defended? Do you know how G.G. defended? The British judge. Let me ask you, sir, if anybody laughs the country, is it a crime or not? That you tell me. This man laughs this country. This is his motherland. And he wants that this country should be free. Is it a crime? My goodness, there are many, it's a long conversation. How he released, after 1 year, Aurobindo was released. Amazing person. Swamiji's brother was arrested. Nibedita paid 10,000 rupees for bail and released him. And the Englishman, the newspaper, called her a traitor. The nationalist leaders advised her to leave the England and worked from there instead of being in Indian jail. She left for England and USA from 1907 and 1909 and continued to help the revolutionaries. When situation calmed down, she returned to India with Jagadish Bose and his wife. Being endowed with God-gifted talent and unlimited energy and the blessings of our guru, Nivedita became the source of inspiration to the Indians in various important fields. In fact, she acted as an architect of Indian Renaissance. Bharat, or India, became our living mother. She asked her students to repeat Bharat, 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 Ma, 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 Pande Mataram. She helped the scientist Jagadish Bose in his research for collecting money and editing his books. She inspired and helped the historians such as Jyotinath Sarkar, Radhakumud Mukherjee, and economist Binoy Sarkar to write the social history of India. She edited the history of Bengali literature written by Dinesh Sen. She regularly contributed articles and art reviews in the Bhajan Review magazine, edited by Ramananda Chatterjee. She appreciated the masterpieces of Indian paintings produced by Abhinandan Tagore, such as Bharat Mata. She sent Nandalal Bose, Ashish Haldar, other modern artists to Ajanta Ellora to copy the frescoes from those caves to recover the spiritual heritage of India. She herself traveled and studied the beauty of Indian art in Ajanta, Ellora, Agra, Delhi, Varanasi, Gaya, Nalanda, Chittor, Jaipur, Udaipur, Udaigiri, Khanjagiri and other places and wrote articles on it. Amazing person. Really amazing person. Nivedita was a wonderful art critic. Her background knowledge of art and keen power of observation overwhelmed the artist. Here are some examples. One day Nivedita went to art school. One of the students made a painting of Buddha. Seeing that painting, she said, "My goodness, what did you do? You made a flat-nosed Buddha like a Chinese Buddha." Buddha was an Indian prince. His nose is pointed, not flat. You are imitating the Chinese and the Japanese style of art. Look, about the beauty of the Indian men are not less than Greek and the Romans. India became her, India, everything in India is the best and good. That is Nivedita. Then Nandalal Bose, then one day she used to go to the art school. She saw Nandalal's paintings, Kali. Seeing the Kali image, Nivedita made a comment, "My goodness, is it Kali? You put a lot of clothes on her body. Kali has no clothes." "You have no idea about Kali. You read Swamiji's books, then you will get the idea of Kali." Then she saw, he showed a painting. Then Dasharatha, Rama left. Dasharatha is morose, broken hearted, and Kaushalya was fanning Dasharatha. It is a palm leaf fan. Nivedita saw that painting. "What is this? You put a palm leaf fan in the hand of a queen. It should be an ivory fan. You go to the museum and see what ivory fan is." She's art critic. She's saying that these paintings are not right. Then she showed a picture of Jogai and Madhai. "But this paint is good. Where did you get this idea?" "But I got this idea from Girish Chandra Ghosh." And sister laughed. "Good, good. Look, before painting, you must have deep meditation." Then he showed a painting on Swamiji. "My goodness, what did you do? You put so many clothes on Swamiji. Swamiji never used so many clothes. Moreover, your climate does not suitable for there so many clothes. Your painting is not right." "Swamiji, look at the pictures of Buddha. Buddha did not have too many clothes. Swamiji was like Buddha." About Nivedita's simplicity. Nivedita, Holy Mother was then 10x2 Boshpada Lane. Nivedita visited her almost every day. Her school was 17 Boshpada Lane. So she saw that Indian women, do you know what they do? The Indian women put their sari like this. So they tie a bunch of key and put it like this. And then this Indian woman, they put like this. That means she is the lady of the house. All power is in her hand. Key is the most important thing. She is the lady of the house. So she is not accustomed, or if top of the sari was falling back and forth, and every time she was throwing like this. And mother laughed, Holy Mother. She made a remark. "Or bhitro shada, bairo shada." Nivedita's outside is white, inside also white. That is a beautiful expression. Then he said, "This Sri Ramakrishna said it." Nivedita became curious, "When?" Then mother said, she gave a few, just idea, "Most probably in 1884 on Rath Jatra Day. Car festival, chariot festival." Nivedita wrote down, went to Shoshi Bhushan Ghosh, a disciple, devotee of Sri Ramakrishna, and could you find out what is the English date? So she dug the almanac and found out the exact date. So she came to her room, and then she found the in her diary the exact date she has the vision of Sri Ramakrishna. How? When Swamiji came to England, Swamiji saw Sri Ramakrishna's picture from him. Immediately she recognized that this picture and the person I saw in dream are the same. Then he told Holy Mother, Mother, I saw Sri Ramakrishna before I came here. But you are Narendra's daughter, so Sri Ramakrishna appeared before you. That is a beautiful story. Sarala Bala Sarkar wrote her students in her memoirs. It was painful to observe that Nivedita could not see the image of Kali in Dakshineshwar because she was a Christian and Westerner. She would try to visualize the mother standing in the courtyard. Alas, how many Hindus have devotion for Kali like Nivedita? Nivedita's residence, Kami School, was in 17 Boshpada Lane without electricity. Sister taught the girls, and most of the time she was busy in writing books which would bring revenue for the school. Sister suffered terribly during these hot summer days. Sometimes she would come out of her room and tell her colleagues in Bengali, Mathai boro kosto. My head is, I have headache. Terrible hot, humid in Calcutta. Forgetting the physical discomfort, she would start to write again. Nivedita stood Nivedita Indian history twice a week with great enthusiasm and passion. One day she wanted to give a class on Rajputana, the Rajputs, the heroic race of the Hindus. She said, you know, I went to Chittor, the fort. I climbed to the top of the hill, knelt down on a rock, and began to think of Queen Padmini, closing my eyes. It's a Padmini was the paragon of beauty. And the Alauddin Khilji, a Muslim king of Delhi, heard about her beauty and attacked Chittor. But I want that woman. So it was, there's a long fight. The Hindus are 2-3 times he attacked. And then finally, I wrote a beautiful story about Padmini. Anyhow, then what happened? In the blazing fire, all the women jumped and killed themselves, instead of surrendering themselves to the Muslims, the Muslim king. So that is a very tragic story of Indian history. So what happened? So Nivedita was saying, what a chastity. How much these Indian women love their chastity. It was beautiful. Saying so, Nivedita remained in silence, closing her eyes, and that was the whole class. Only one story. And just as she told her experience, she loved traveling. Well, traveling brings education better. Nivedita's faith in Ramakrishna was phenomenal, and Swamiji, his guru, she would talk about her guru to the students. My guru was Bireshwar. Bireshwar means a name of Shiva in Banaras, god of the heroes. The heroes of the world must follow his footsteps. You all be heroes, otherwise this little happiness and misery of the world, overcoming this little happiness and misery of the world. In the girls' classroom, there was a map of the world one side, and the other side Ramakrishna's picture. He said, Ramakrishna is the world guru, Jagat Guru. This map should be under his feet. So he took the map. She took the map and put under Ramakrishna's feet, below Ramakrishna's picture. One day, Nivedita saw a maid servant made a cow dung patches on the wall of mother's house. She did not like it. She forbade. And after a few days, again that maid servant did it. Nivedita became mad. She wrote a note to Brahmachari Gonen, please tell the maid that she should not do any more. Never, never, never. Furious N. That was the note. To her, Holy Mother's house is a temple, is a shrine. Navadurga Bosu, another student, wrote, do you know what I saw? Before beginning the school, sister would come with the incense and wave in front of Swamiji. After bowing down Swamiji, she will start the class. Nircharani Sarkar, another student, reminisced, the classroom placed on the floor and we sat on the mat and a low desk in front. Sister told the students to sit erect always. Once the sister took us to the museum and carried some dry fruits. You know, sister has a horse carriage, so all the students went with her. She showed the museum, gave them first-hand education, and when the tour was over, asked one girl, distribute these dry fruits and cookies among the students. And then she gave some to sister also. Then sister said, let me see, how much do you have? Nothing. This is a natural for the girls in this country. They are always busy to serve others without keeping anything for themselves. She has tremendous feelings for the poor people. Some workers were painting and feeling asleep. One man was sleeping on the floor. And sisters told the girls, don't make any noise, let him take rest. But she got up and seeing a white woman, oh, Memsahib, Memsahib, she was afraid, thinking that she would be fired. Sister consoled her, no, 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 please take rest, take rest. She has tremendous love for the poor people. During the plague relief, she worked in the slum areas. Then Ramananda Chatterjee, who was a Brahmo, very famous writer, went to see Nivedita by horse carriage. Immediately she came out, she asked, have you finished your lunch? Yes. Then asked the horse carriage driver, do you have lunch? He asked, please feed this horse carriage driver. And the horse carriage, he asked the horse carriage driver, give some fodder to the horses, give them rest, because I will have to talk to this man for some time. She has feelings for these people. Once she found a puppy dog by the side of the road, she got down from her carriage, bought some milk, and fed the puppy dog and tried to save its life. Now, India, Nivedita in the eyes of the contemporaries. Nivedita was glorified by poets, scientists, artists, writers, national leaders, journalists, and many Indian and foreign savants. We shall mention here briefly a few appreciation. Rabindranath Tagore. She had a versatile, all-round genius. And with that, there was another thing in her nature. That was her militancy. She had power. And she exerted that power with full force on the lives of others. I have not noticed in any other human being the wonderful power that was hers, the absolute dedication of herself. She was, in fact, Lokomata, a mother of the people. She got that title from Rabindranath Tagore, Lokomata, mother of the people. Nivedita Tagore told Dilip Rai, you know, Nivedita had so much love. She, with that power of love, she could make impossible possible. Tangible love. Gokhale, a national leader, her marvelous intellect, her lyric powers of expression, her great industry and intensity with which she held her beliefs and convictions, the last but not the least, the truly great gift, capacity to see the soul of things straight away, all this would have made her a most remarkable woman of any time and in any country. Aurobindo said she was a veritable life wire. Life wire. Subhash Chandra Bose said to Dilip Rai, "Those who try to downgrade our country because of 1,000 disgraceful oppressions, I ask them to read the Master as I saw him, Life of Swami Vivekananda by Nivedita. I do not know there is any such great disciple of such a great guru in this world." Abanindranath Tagore, the famous artist, wrote, "I saw her at a party of the Art Society at Justice Homewood's house. I was given the charge of sending out invitations. I had sent an invitation to Nivedita also. The party had begun. The whole place was crowded with so many rich people. Many well-dressed, beautiful ladies were there. Nivedita came late in the evening. The same white dress, the rosary and rudraksha beads round her neck, and her brown hair tied in high knot. When she came and stood there, it seemed as if the moon had arisen among the stars. In a moment, all the beautiful women paled into insignificance. The men started whispering. Woodruff came and asked who she was. I introduced him to Nivedita." Woodruff is just, we wrote about Tantra. Sir John Woodruff. Arthur Avalon. "I do not know whom she would call beautiful. I do not know whom you would call beautiful. To me, she is the ideal." Ratcliffe, she was the Swami Nivedita's friend, he was the editor of the Statesman newspaper, famous newspaper, British newspaper. "The land to whose service she had devoted herself made her overwhelming appeal to her, its history and thought, its people and their life, its present state in subjection and social transition. There could be no partial surrender with her. She gave herself utterly." Nivedita, a great wonder. We wonder when we see Taj Mahal in India, pyramids in Egypt, Great Wall of China, we think, how is it possible to build all these great things? Similarly, we wonder watching the legacy of Nivedita in various fields of Indian national life, who lived and worked in India approximately 9 years among 44 years of her lifetime. Nivedita is no more with us, but her powerful writings made her immortal. Apart from her voluminous writings and letters, there are 3 English biographers and several Bengali biographers: The Master as We Saw Him, The Wave of Indian Life, and Cradle Tales of Hinduism are her masterpieces. In recent times, Shankari Prasad Bosu wrote Lokamata Nivedita in 5 volumes, which unearthed various facets of Nivedita. Nivedita fell on India like a luminous comet from a different planet and awakened the Indian people from their moribund condition through her divine power and unselfish love. She worked in the fields of religion, politics, nationalism, art, literature, science, education, journalism, and what not. She was a genius with an encyclopedic knowledge. Nivedita became the moving figure in the Renaissance of India. Last year, I visited Rai Villa in Darjeeling from September 12 to 16, 2016, which is now a branch of the Ramakrishna Mission. The government gave that house and money to Ramakrishna Mission so that we can train the Gurkhas, children, and get them Indian culture. So I stayed 3 nights in the room adjacent to Nivedita's room where she lived and died. On the 14th, I went to visit the spot where Nivedita was cremated. A monument and her statue had been installed there. There is an inscription on the monument. Here reposes Sister Nivedita, who gave her all to India. Before death, she made her will and bequeathed her all money and income from her books to her school for the women education in India. Avala Bose recalled, during her last moment, she was at the deathbed. She prayed, O Lord, lead us from unreal to the real, darkness to light, death to immortality. Finally, her face became luminous and she uttered, the boat is sinking, but I shall see the sunrise. She had blood dysentery in the heel. The all best doctors tried to cure her, but failed. Thus Nivedita marched into light divine. Nivedita's ashes was brought to Belur Math and installed in her Guru Vivekananda's shrine. Every morning, a monk offers flowers to her relics. With the lightning speed, her death news spread all over India. Mother India lost a wonderful, glorious and dedicated daughter. Nivedita's spirit began to travel in the veins of millions of Indians. When Holy Mother heard the news, she cried and remarked, all people cry for a great soul. Nivedita once said to me, Mother, we are Hindus in our previous births. We are born in the West so that the Master's message may spread there. Nivedita left a mark on this earth and justified her name, Nivedita, a dedicated one, the dedicated one. Anyhow, that is the paper I wrote, and for a specific reason, last 2-3 months I was reading Nivedita. I read so many books, so all the ideas are jumping in my head. I was thinking, well, if I put all my books back, these ideas will leave me. So before they leave, let me jot down my ideas in a systematic way that I did. 16 pages. I wrote another article, I think last time I read to you before I left for India, about Nivedita in the memory of other people. That one, it will come in Bengali.
That was you were translating from Bengali that time.
But this one I wrote in English. Mm-hmm. Nivedita Yuvanja. Anyhow, so there will be 2 more Saturdays I shall give you class here. 18th and 25th, I think. Following Saturday, I shall be here, but there will be Kali Puja. So we cannot have class at that day. A very fascinating life. Just at the age of 44, she died. And how much she did, my goodness. Many things I did not write. She used to encourage young people to attain freedom in India. She asked the students, go to lab, learn how to make bombs. Irish, fighting race.
You didn't include that, Swamiji?
I'd have to give a lecture in London on this topic. So if I... Do you know what would they say? As the enemies are many, so the mode of fighting are also many. They have some Irish people, you know, and British, they always fight. No, I cannot write all this. I cannot go into controversy, but in a reserved way I put it there. She really was very active in the freedom movement of India. A country must be free. When the news came that Aurobindo is going to be arrested again, So he came to Nivedita. But instead of vegetating in the Indian, in the British jail, go to French colony, Chandanagar, to then Pondicherry. Because the British cannot arrest him. And from there he worked. In Nivedita also, it is. But you know, Lady Minto, the wife of the Governor General of India, used to come to her home. She was very fond of Nivedita. British, Governor General's wife. You know, it is the character, dedication. She did not have money. Mrs. Olivewood would support her. And writing books, Longman, these publishers, she would make some money. She helped many people, many Indians, and they are subjugated. Jagadish Bose, he invented that trees have life, trees have expressions. And British people took away his invention and put in their name, you know. It's about what is called the waves, you know, radio waves. All those things he invented. Jagadish Bose. All right.